Welcome to Calvary Chapel, Wichita. May God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Well, we are going to be in James. How far we go, that will be up to the Lord. And I say that because the Lord, He worked on me a little bit all week. I thought I had what He might wanted to share. I found out as late as yesterday afternoon, that was all for me. He says, I have a different plan. So anyway, we're going to go into James. And just a little bit of background on James here. You know, we have all these fix-it shows, and we have all these books on how to fix things, right? How to do them, what the things to do are. Well, James is known as that book of the Bible. It's the how-to. So James is going to be going through here, giving us these instructions that the Lord gave him to write down. So we're going to be going through that. And in all this, it's going to teach us how to come closer to the Lord. He's going to show us that these to go through, as I'm going through. You know, he's going to show that it is to strengthen us, to prove to us where we're at in our faith and what we need to work on. I mean, we all need to do something on our faith and just to be able to cling closer to Him. And then as we are walking tight with the Lord, it's also an encouragement to show us how we are walking with the Lord and His praising of us. So let's just go ahead and turn here and get into James Chapter 1, verse 1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, says, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. So we see here, even in this first thing here as we're going through it, James is not written to a specific church. He's writing to all the Jewish Christians is what he's doing here. All those who are scattered out, outside of Palestine is what he's doing here. And he's just wanting to encourage them. And you'll probably hear me use the word encourage a lot in our home fellowship we've been in. We've been going through 2 Peter, and there is a lot of encouraging in that book there. So I've noticed that God's word is an encouragement to all of us as we are saved by him. He doesn't want us to falter. He doesn't want us to fall. He doesn't want us to stumble. He's not waiting to correct us in a manner that, I know as when I was in the world, I had fear of God in such a manner that I didn't even want to hear of him because I was afraid I'd be smacked too hard and wouldn't be able to, you know, come to him. Well, when I realized that he had those open arms and just love for me, as he has for all of us, for all of mankind, that, you know, that correction is completely different. It is a love correction. It is a correction of his heart, wanting us to be able to walk hand in hand with him, be able to see his face, so that whenever we do go home, he can tell us, job well done, you know, good and faithful servant. So going past that now, we'll get into verse 2. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Now, I don't know about you, but I got to admit, when it comes to trials, I don't like them. I mean, anything that puts me into something I get out of my comfort zone, it really is hard for me. I struggle. But why do I do that? It's because I don't trust in the Lord enough. It's in that faith. Being up here, for instance, I enjoy it when the other pastors are up here, the other elders are here, and they're sharing. I mean, it's like, oh, my God does such wonderful works with them. But when they said, Raymond, I think it's your turn, there wasn't a corner I could hide in. I just, but in this is, and I don't consider this a trial per se. This is a proving of the faith. Because, you know, a lot of times we look at trials as being that, well, those hardships, basically, that are on us. And one thing I want us to know is God doesn't create those hardships to just put us through the ringer, as we would think of it. He uses them to hone us, to purify us, in our faith, is what he does. He strengthens us in that. There's times I feel like I'm very faithless. And coming up here doing this study, there was times I felt very inadequate. I know I am, but I'm going to put my faith in the Lord that he will be able to share what he wants to you. Raymond's words are Raymond's words. Hopefully they aren't blocking anything that God's wanting to say to you. So as we go through this, I just want to let you know, trials. Here James is telling not just the Christians of that time, but of this time, that we need to look at those trials in a complete different manner. I mean, we now, today, we're going through people losing jobs, losing homes, losing things. If we have that in the right mindset, and I know it's tough, it's very hard to do, because we are in this fleshy body that says it needs to be taken care of. And we cry out to God and say, oh, Lord, did you forget me? No, he hasn't forgot us. He's just proving to us, and he's going to use the things of this earth to prove to us that we are following him, that he will take care of us. He is taking care of us. So as we go through those things of today, I urge you, James urges you, Jesus urges us, because these are his words as he's been given to James. Count all these trials. Count all of them as joy. And, you know, you always say, look for that silver lining. That's what he's doing. That silver lining is our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's look to him. Let's have him carry us through these things. He will provide those needs that we have. He'll take care of those needs. It may not be in the manner that we're thinking it ought to be. Like I say, I like to be very comfortable. Well, sometimes comfortable isn't the best for me. I know it isn't, because I can get lazy. I get comfortable. I don't want to do anything. I just kind of sit around, and my wife's shaking her head, yes. But anyway, you know, getting comfortable just isn't always what we need, especially if we're being comfortable in self. If we're being comfortable in the Lord, now there is a different aspect, different way of looking at taking these trials as joy. Let's relax and be comforted in him. And in 3 here it says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Well, I'm one of those kind of people, and I'm sure you've heard it, Lord, give me patience, but give it now. Oh, I'm one of those. I caught myself last week even. Lord has been working with me and patience in so many ways. Computers, I don't know how you guys deal with them. I know I don't like them, even though we have to use them. They expect you to work fast and quick, but when it's working slower than you are, it's patience. So that's why I say this patience, as it's teaching us here. And it's our faith that it's going to be working through doing this. And it's also going to be proving to us in this that we will be perfect. And in the word perfect here, it's completed. I guess I kind of got ahead, but I guess I'll go through 4. It says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So your patience is what God sees it, is to have us completed. So as we go through the trial, how are we going to go through that trial? Are we going to go through it with the Lord? Are we going to go through it by ourselves? If so, we will revisit that trial. It may be a different style, but we'll revisit that. Doesn't mean that we're going to keep, not that once we go through that, we'll never see another trial. But we have completed that one. So we've become perfect in that. And we'll be lacking nothing. This is the Lord's, as we'll be seeing here pretty soon, it's wisdom, knowledge. And I don't want to just use the word knowledge, because wisdom isn't necessarily the knowledge of everything. It's to understand how to use what the Lord has given us, how to work through that trial. What should we have learned from that trial we was in? So that when we go through it once again, it's not going to be that real hardship to us. Because in every trial, even though we tend to revisit them, there's more than one thing that God is wanting to work on us with. I mean, it just amazes me. I mean, he proves himself over and over as being so mighty, so awesome. I mean, he will be working with me as at the same time he's working with all others. And how he works not just with one person at a time in that trial. Even through the things I've been going through at work, he's working on me at the same time he's working around my coworkers, working through them. The ones who are saved and following him, he's teaching them the patience, working through them, giving them that strength that they need. Those who are unsaved, he is drawing upon them. He's not being that, how we want to say it here, the father that we think is just waiting to correct us, like I said earlier, to kind of snap us back in line. It's not that. He's there with open arms. He's loving us through that trial. He's loving us into a condition. He's loving that person that is lost. Because after all, every one of us are his children. He wants all to be able to come to him. He knows there will be some who will reject him and not do that. But it's not going to be because he didn't love them. He's going to be there drawing them continually. So that's why I say he's working with us. He's so awesome, so mighty. You know, and we, the songs that we sing and the prayers that we even put up, it doesn't even come close to what our God does and that love that he really has for us. And we just need to pray and continually seeking him. I'm going back to some of the other study I thought that I was having to give, but it's that continual seeking that we need to be doing of him. And most of all, as we're seeing here, it's so that we will be able to go through these trials. We'll recognize the trial for what it is. It's not just the world being the world coming in upon us. Yes, we're still going to have that. We need to understand that too, that it is spiritual. It's not just the things that we go through. There's a spiritual warfare that's going on. And we know that the enemy doesn't like us. Matter of fact, he hates us because we love our Lord, love the Father. He loves us. So we just need to put ourselves in his hands as we go through these trials. Count them as joy. Count them as God loving us, strengthening us, showing us that our faith is what it is, that it is being held, controlled by him. And also that if we are a little weak in that faith, let's learn from that. Let's realize maybe we're not studying enough. Maybe we're not praying enough. Maybe we're not listening enough. Listening to the Lord, what he has to say. And none of these words are to put any guilt complex on anybody. I know how busy things can get. It's just a reminder that when we go to the Lord in our prayers, in our study, in our time of just reading his word, we need to expect to hear from him. That's one thing we really need to do. Pray to hear from him. And there's times I forget that. I think, okay, I need to do some study. I need to read the word, and I'm hurry up, hurry, hurry, hurry. I am a doer when I'm not being lazy. I am that doer type person. Get in there and get something done. But when I have the wrong heart, which, again, is some of these trials, that's what it's telling us. Let's have the right heart. Let's look to the Lord. Let's seek Him and ask Him. Now, in 5 here, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And I said earlier on this wisdom, again, this is not knowledge of everything, but it is God's wisdom, what he wants to give us, as how to deal with these trials. Because we are still talking of the trials here. What should we glean from that trial we went through? What is it that the Lord is wanting us to, I don't want to say bypass, but what is it he's trying to keep us from in this? We know that he doesn't want us to sin. So it is just him encouraging us that here's some of the things we need to be looking at, whatever it may be. But mostly that we will be loving as he is, and that we will love one another as he does, and that we will have that patience and that faith of looking to him and waiting for him to answer. Because here he's already promised to us that, hey, you ask, if you're seeking with the right heart, seeking him, it's going to be given to you. And what we don't really understand is, I looked through some other verses even, it is in an abundance as long as we want to receive it. I mean, look what he did with us when we asked for him to save us. Did we deserve any of it? No, we didn't. I mean, what a pouring out for us. I mean, what an abundance of overflow he has given us. So why not do that in our daily walk as we are now learning of him more? And in 6 it says, but let him ask in faith. It says, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Again, the faith. Let's ask in the faith of what Lord Jesus Christ has for us. Let's not ask in those earthly desires. You know, the Lord knows that we need substance to be able to be sustained. He knows that. But are there things of the flesh that we tend to ask for? That we need a better car? That we need maybe more rooms of a house? Those kind of things. But where is our heart? Where's our faith when we're asking for that? And I'm not telling anybody, don't ask for those things. I mean, by no means. If the Lord has blessed you mightily to do those things, I would say by all means. But what is it that he's wanting you to do when you do those? Maybe he's wanting to send some people your way to you help them out. Maybe that old car, he wants you to give it to a brother or sister who's in need. I mean, there's so many things that the Lord does with us. And how he does it, it's just, how are we going to perceive what he's trying to tell us? And in this, he doesn't want us to be a doubter. Because this doubting, and here he uses this example of how the wind drives the waves on the sea. You know, they're from one side to the other, depending on how hard the wind's blowing and what it's going to be like. Well, mostly that is that if we're doubting, we're not of that one mind, of that one heart of Jesus. So if we're trying to serve him and we're still trying to serve ourselves or trying to serve the world, this is where he's talking about being double-minded in this. And he's telling us that if we are in that condition, that it's not good for us. So let's count the trial as joy. Let's learn if that's where we're at right now. Let's learn that that's not what God wants. He wants us to be of one mind and one heart with him. Test that faith. Make sure that that's where we need to be. And in this testing, that's proving it out. Is it real? Is it the genuine article of faith of following the Lord Jesus? Or are we just putting on that facade. So let's keep testing. And it's good, because there's times we can get into a rut and miss what we're really believing and following. We know how to take care of that. We just go back and ask for the Lord's forgiveness, remove that from us, and get us back on track again. And in 7 it says, "For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." So if we're trying to live both places, basically, trying to serve two masters, we've heard that a lot, we're double-minded. The Lord's not really going to give us much, I guess is what I would want to say there. So we need to test that. Prove out our faith. Where are we? What do we need, believe in more? And as we'll see here in the next verse here, talking about rich and poor, how do we perceive that? And in verse 9 it says, "Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation." Exaltation, yeah. "But the rich in his humiliation. Because as a flower of the field, he will pass away." It says, "For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass. Its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuit." Now, this makes it sound like God's against people who have wealth. No, he's not. Remember, all things come from God as far as these blessings that we have. And I didn't want to try to portray that even with what I was speaking of earlier, but God wants to ask us, or he has asked us, how are we perceiving this rich and poor? Are we doing it like the world? I mean, the world, when it looks at money, for instance, it says money brings freedom. I mean, we've heard that. That's what we were taught a lot when we were kids. You got to go to school, work hard, get the money, get the good job. I'm not saying that's wrong, but is that our main drive? Is that where we're at? The desire for money can be enslaving and lead to destruction. Only Christ brings true freedom. And we know that. I assume we're all saved here. We already know that Jesus Christ brings us out of that freedom of bondage and death and destruction. He's the only one that can do it. Money won't get us anywhere on that. We can't take it with us by no means. We could keep it in a box whenever we pass on, but we're not going to take it with us. So where's our heart? Is it looking to the money as saving us, or are we looking to Jesus Christ as that Savior and that freedom? Don't be as a double-minded man. Foot in the world, foot with Jesus. Money brings security. It's another way of the world. That's what the world tells you. This is worldly wealth is very insecure. It will quickly pass away. It says, real security is found in knowing and trusting God. And that's what we're talking about here as we go through these trials. It's to prove to us that we are trusting Him. So we need to know that. And that's where the world tells you money's the security. God says, no, I'm that security. I'm going to bless you with money. But how are you going to deal with it? Are you going to look to it? Or are you going to look to me? He knows our needs. We all, as we looked at earlier, He knows the jobs we need. He knows that the food that we have, those kind of things. He will take care of that as long as our trust is in Him. And then also one of the other way here is the money is what matters. And we've met people that are that way, that money is the only thing they deal with. That's all they want to drive towards. And it says here, Christ and the kingdom of God are what matters. That's in Matthew 6:33, telling us that Jesus Christ is the one that matters. he walked about on the earth. What money did he have? He didn't seek money. He seeked wealth of us, drawing us to him. He seeked the Father in everything that he did. Did money come his way? Yeah, he had a money handler that took that. He still knew that you had to pay for those things that are required to be paid for. He did those things. But it wasn't the drive. And also, money is power. It's another thing of the world. I mean, we see it very much so right now, how the world is changing, that money is going to drive everything. It says power comes from being filled with the Spirit. As the apostles were in Acts, when God breathed upon them, filled them with the Holy Spirit, the power that he put into them of being able to understand a brother that had a complete different language. That was just a minor one. Be able to understand one another and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand what God is wanting of them, leading them. Money establishes not only your net worth, but your worth as a person. Well, yeah, it will establish your net worth, but God doesn't look at your wallet, by no means. He wants to look at your heart. That's where he's at. So he wants us, and he tells us even, go to the prisons. Share your word with the prisons. Share with the widowers. Protect them. Those who are orphans. God's heart is there with them. So where would money have to do with that? It isn't where he wants us to be. And here it says money makes you successful. That's true as the world it does, because again, everything as we see it revolves around that money as in the world. But not in God's kingdom of what he has. It says success comes from knowing and doing what God says. There's where the success is. When we are hurting, when we are struggling, he wants us to bring those things, as we sung at the cross. That's what he wants us to do. Bring those things that are hindering us, that are hurting us, that are our trials. He wants us to bring those to him. Lay them at his feet. Bring those joys to him too. So we can praise him as we did with our singing today. Praise him for what he has done. Not what we've done. Not what I've done. I mean, what I've done is going to be burnt up someday. And maybe sooner than I think. So it's not those things that make you successful. It's the doing of what God wants, his heart. And money gives you options. In the world, it does. It usually gives you the option that you got to watch it real hard because somebody else is wanting to take it. You know, and that's hard on you. I mean, that's really hard because guess what? Your mindset is off of the Lord. It says God is the one who ultimately gives you options. And we already know that the one option he wants us to take is salvation. Follow him. And that's the one that we need to share with even the world that is lost. Share it with them. Money's good, but it can also corrupt. And then another one here. Money brings happiness. Somebody who's hurting because they don't have any money in it, yeah, it does bring some happiness. But it's just an immediate happiness. Just for a short period of time. It says the happiness that money brings is short-lived, and is the long run, money can actually produce many sorrows. Now, is that saying you need to go out and just throw away all your money? No. Be wise with what God has given you. That's what it's one of the things it's telling you. Be fruitful with it. Use it how God would direct you to use it. It says lasting joy comes from knowing God. And we see that in His Word here continually. We've seen that in different miracles that Jesus had performed while He was here trying to teach the disciples. At the same time, He was giving us that example of following Him, what He can do. We're in that faith, even what we can do, of how He raised those from the dead, how He made blind be able to see, the lame to walk, how He went to the cross and died for us to save us because we were blind, we were lame, we were dead. So I see here that happiness isn't money. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's where we need to look. And I know I'm, as you hear, preaching to the choir. Because I know you all know this. But we all need to be reminded. Or I believe Jesus tells us we need to be reminded. It wouldn't be in His Word so often. And yes, different men wrote these books, but it was given to them by Jesus Christ, by the Lord our Father, to be able to put it down of what He wants us to know, what reminders we need, what strength we need, which is His. This is money is your reward. Save it and spend it on yourself. That's the world. Hoard it all up. Get as much as you can, and then spend it on yourself. And in the Lord's plan, it says, give as much as you can. Give as much as you can. It could be your money. Most of all, it's your heart. That's what He'd be wanting you to give. Give your heart. Give your heart to the Lord, and in doing that, you're going to love others. You're going to be able to present God in a manner of one who loves you, who loves them, who loves all. He's that Creator. So He's going to love all. So just need to perceive it in God's manner. It says, money is your possession. Spend it on whatever you want. And all that you have is God's to do with as He pleases. You are merely a manner of His possessions. So, all the stuff that we have, if we look at it as this is what God has given us, we can count it as joy. But if we're looking to strive to go get it and hoard it up and do what the world tells us to do, we're going to be going through trials. Of just one thing, at least, is being able to love the Lord, follow Him. So a saying that rich is bad, no. Where's the heart in that? Is the heart looking to be rich in what the Lord has given and be able to share that with others, to be able to share your heart with others? Nowhere here did I see that really God says, make that money and give it all to me. He didn't say that. That's not what He's saying. Does He teach on tithing? Yes, it's there. But again, even the tithing is taught of where's the heart? If the heart is not following Him and seeking Him, don't tithe. Because it's not good. Not good for you. Now getting to verse 12. It says, loving God under trials is where this is heading. Here it says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. What a promise. So as we go through the trials, again, we're going, take it as joy. Here's God working with us He's not working on us. He's working with us. He's working to be able to change that heart so that we don't strive for just money, that we don't strive for just things. It will go away. But we will seek Him. We will put our faith, we'll put our trust, we'll lay those trials in His hands to be able to teach us what we need to know, which is being loved, loving as He does. And here it tells us, it says, blessed is the man who endures temptations. And the reason why it would be blessed is because we are enduring it by following the Lord Jesus Christ with what He has to say, what He wants of us. And what a promise when your Maker tells you, here's what will happen when you just follow me. Give up, follow me. In 13 it says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He Himself tempt anyone. It says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and expectations. There is what it is. So if we go and say, well, God tempted me in that. Wrong. God is not tempting us. He may use that trial to try to prove us, try to refine us, teach us, but He's not going to tempt us into evil, because He had to turn His back on His Son when He was on the cross and died for us because He took all the sin upon Him. He can't be in the presence of sin. So He's not going to be one who's going to tempt us with sin just to see what we would do. He already knows. He knows we're sinful. We're going to be weak. We're going to fall. So we don't want to judge God as being a tempter of our faith with sin. He's not going to do that. We need to realize that it is going to be ourself that's going to be that. And that's, again, what the trial is for. Count it as joy that we realize that's what God is doing. He's using that trial to prove to us that He's not the tempter of sin. He's the one who saves us from that sin. It says, then when desire and has conceived it, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Our Savior went to the cross, died on the cross for us. Why would He want to tempt you with sin to make you go back to death? That's not what He wants. He's not going to do that. But we also see here, He tells us what will happen with sin. We receive those desires, it gives birth to sin, and sin then, when it's full grown, will be death, because we've turned our eyes off the Lord. We've turned from Him. So I urge us to look to our trials. Look to them as being joy. Look to them as our Father's hand and our heart, His heart, upon us, guiding us, directing us, just like you with children do with your children. And the Lord is not going to treat His children in a manner of evil. He's just not going to do that. Now, we as people sometimes do to our own children, but that's not even where humanity is even at. They're going to love that child even if they're not saved. They still will love the child and try to do the best they can for them. When our Father came to this earth as the Son and walked it as man, why would He even want us to even think of going back to sin and death? Count the trial as joy. And in 16 it says, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So right here, God tells us why he sent us through these trials. And all good things are going to be coming from him. He's not going to give us anything that would deceive us, trick us. It's not what he's out there for. He wants to make it simple. His word is simple. Follow me, and I will save you. That's what he tells us. Love me, and I will love you. Not in that pattern. He loved us first to love him. I know it's a little short, but I believe that's what God wanted me to share, is that as we go through the things of this world, remember they are of the world. Use them as testing to prove where you're at. Use them as a proving ground to prove that you are stronger than where you thought because you have the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart.
Thank you for listening to this message. If you have any questions, please contact us at area code 316-263-3804 or check us out on the web at www.calvarychapelwichita.org.